Support for KNKX Connect comes from the Falconer family of Western Washington, supporters of a free, independent, and energetic press, who urge listeners to get involved in their local community and to support KNKX.
In 2015, the Twispe River fire spread dramatically from roughly 4 acres to double its size in just 15 minutes. It would eventually burn thousands of acres. Firefighters from 3 different agencies responded. One of them was Daniel Lyon. He was 25 years old at the time and had signed up to fight wildland fires as a way to lead him into the career he really wanted, being a police officer. But things did not go as Daniel expected. Here's his story in his own words, and we should let you know that parts of this interview might be difficult for some listeners. It's about 10 minutes long.
I've always loved the outdoors, and it's been my favorite place to be, is either in the mountains or in the woods or floating down the river. And wildland firefighting gives you that exact opportunity. You get to eat outside, you sleep outside, you work outside. You're outside literally 99% of the time. And you get to see some of the most coolest places that not a lot of people get to see. And I thought it would be a great opportunity. Most people know me for being in the Twispe River fire. I'm currently burned 70%, and I've spent the last few years recovering. And that day of August 19th, 2015, was a day that just has changed my life forever. Not a lot of fires were happening in June, and then up and even until the middle of July, it was a pretty slow season. And I think as firefighters, we were kind of bummed because it was slow. As firefighters, it's like you want to fight a lot of fires, and the more fires there are, it's almost like the better, because you get to go out and get more action. But then August 19th rolled around and got dispatched to a fire, which ended up turning into the Twispe River fire. But at that time, it was just a really small fire that was creeping up to some houses that were being threatened. And it was our job to protect those houses and provide some structure protection to hopefully make sure they didn't burn down. The wind had suddenly picked up in an insane amount. A huge gust of wind came by, and it was literally like somebody poured gasoline from the sky onto that fire. I looked over my shoulder, and that fire was coming straight at us. The trees erupted in flames. All the brush erupted in flames. It was just like a massive wall of flame coming towards us. We ended up all jumping into our fire engine. There was 4 of us. And basically, to get back to our safety zone, we had to drive through that fire. And in the midst of that, we ended up crashing into a steep ravine because the visibility was so low. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It really wasn't even smoky. It was just pure flames. And it was just the loudest and brightest thing you'd ever seen. It sounded like a freight train all around you. We crashed extremely hard because we hit really abruptly, and I knew right then and there it was either burn up there in that fire engine or die trying. And I wanted to give it my all to get the heck out of there. And I threw open the door of that fire engine, and I immediately took off running. And as soon as I stepped out, there was just flames all around us. The engine was engulfed, and I was basically burning alive as soon as I stepped out of that engine. I remember when I finally broke out of the fire, looking over my shoulder, and I had gotten across the pavement, and I looked back into the forest, and it was completely engulfed in flames, just a wall of flames, and those guys didn't come out of that fire, and that was and is one of the hardest things I've had to deal with. Running through the fire was probably the easy part about it, because all you had to do at that time was run. But now starts the time where I really have to start actually fighting for my life.
Mm-hmm.
worst part about being in a burn unit is the wound care. The wound care is something you have to do every day, and they take you to this room that they call the tank room. It's basically this room that, from what I remember, was really bright white inside, and it had all this really sterile equipment inside. And in the center of the floor was basically a drain, like a shower drain. And above that was a big stainless steel shower head. And I remember in those first weeks of going into that tank room, they'd basically hose me off, or shower me off, I should say. And that medical table and that floor would basically just turn red from your blood and your scabs. And you'd see that run into the drain, and it was just a horrible, horrible experience. And I remember once I got out of there, out of that tank room, it'd be an instant relief because it's like, oh, finally that part is over. But then all you could think about was dreading having to go back to it the next day. I remember the day seeing my face for the first time in the mirror. And that was extremely, extremely hard for me because I looked completely different. I had massive wounds all over my face. Things were starting to scar. My face was blood red. And seeing myself in the mirror, I remember breaking down. And that's like when I really started to cry because I thought to myself, oh my God, I am never going to have a chance of being in a relationship again. I'm never going to have a chance of having a wife someday. And my mom never missed a single day of my entire stay being there at the hospital. And I remember she started telling me about all the visitors that I'd been getting. She told me about this one girl who she didn't really know. She didn't know her name, and that she had came and visited me a couple times. Well, I come to find out it was Megan, who is my current girlfriend, and now longtime girlfriend. We've been dating from those hard days back in 2015. I couldn't talk on the phone at that time because it took a lot of effort to hold the phone all the way up to my ear. But I remember I could start actually texting on my iPad. And they would leave, the doctors would make sure that the very tip of my one index finger was always left unbandaged so that I could type on my iPad. I was only allowed to be on my iPad for like, I think it was like the last hour or two of the day, because usually before all that time I was either in therapy or having wound care done. So it really made me look forward to that time. I mean, 24 hours a day, it was pretty much miserable, but it was able to be cut down to 22 hours a day. Was really miserable because the other 2 hours, I finally got to message my friends and message Megan. Right after I got released, I ended up having to move to Montana. That's where my parents lived, and I was going to need a lot of help. They essentially turned out to be my caretakers. And so I think it was about a month or two after I got released out of the hospital, I had to come back to Harborview for my first checkup, and I was going to make sure that I met up with Megan and we'd go out on a date. We had an absolute blast. It was incredible. I mean, she looked at me like I wasn't burned. She's never treated me any differently, and that's the greatest feeling in the world. My outlook from those early days in the hospital has absolutely 110% changed. It's kind of a crude joke that I make, but I say my goals in life, you know, even though I got burned, the fire didn't burn those goals out of me. You know, I still am the same Daniel that I was before. I still have the same goals and aspirations that I always did before. You know, I still want to go climb mountains and ride motorcycles. and be a police officer. That goal of getting back into law enforcement and working again in that environment is what got me through so many hard days. Over the last couple years, I've gotten to go back to my old department at Milton, and I go on ride-alongs with the guys. And as soon as I hop in that car and I'm just, you know, riding shotgun passenger seat, I forget about everything. I forget about being burned. I forget about all my aches and pains. It's just, it's my calling. And I know that that's what it is for me.
KNKX's Ariel Van Cleve produced that story. Kari Ploeg conducted the interview.